Hello. Welcome to Almost 30 Podcast. Good to see you. Glad you're here.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day to
Maybe
you.
You're on YouTube. Good friggin' day.
Stare into the camera. Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's Linz and Krista. If you're new to the pod, thanks for being here. We know you have a lot of options out there, but we will always promise to deliver some, you know, honest convos, maybe some laughs, and exactly what you need, mm-hmm. where you are.
So grateful you're here. This is going to be a really good one. It's super deep and something that Lindsay and I shared and talked about at Camp Almost 30, which happened last weekend, which was super powerful. It was a free digital event we did for our community. There was like 6,000 or so people that signed up and we had like 2,000 in attendance. And it was the most powerful, beautiful thing to see people in community being so supportive and kind. And it was a vortex.
I had to hold my shit together.
I honestly, all day yesterday, I went on a walk and I slept for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I was unwell.
Well, it's just so funny because the last year has been such a contrast mm-hmm. to that in a lot of ways. I feel like we've had so many beautiful moments, but like to have 6 hours of mm-hmm. just like beautiful souls meeting on this virtual Zoom, but also just like the love, mm-hmm. the hope, the intention was like electric. And I was just blown away.
There wasn't anyone that wasn't so kind mm-hmm. to one another and so sweet. And also too, when you're leading one of those, you're like, your energy is, I'm like energetically screaming at everyone.
You're like, can you hear me in the back?
Yeah, like I'm like killing myself because my energy is trying to reach people through a digital Zoom all over the world. And so my energy is spread all over the world in these like computers. I mean, mm-hmm. I was dead. I was so dead.
We were watching all of you in real time. You were kind of capturing it on Instagram and storing it, but you had set up, so many of you had mm-hmm. set up like your own little like
altars.
Oasis for mm-hmm. the day. And it was so cool and cozy. And I just, I felt really lucky to kind of like be in your homes.
I know. You saw a lot of people had their animals too.
Oh,
so cute.
They're like dogs sleeping through my meditation.
Yes. The animals were getting healed. The animals were participating. There were some people who were taking baths. Mm-hmm. For some people, it was the morning. For Jenna Zoe, one mm-hmm. of our speakers, it was middle of the night. It was 1 a.m. It was so cute too. She was wearing a robe and they're like, in true Jenna Zoe fashion, only wears robes. And then for PETA, it was like 7 a.m. She just had up with the kids. So it was time zones all over the world and people coming from all over the world. Denmark, Switzerland, Russia, Bali, just everywhere.
Yeah, it was really, really powerful. And I had a moment where I was like, I don't know if all of these speakers are going to be in the same container ever again, mm-hmm. which felt special for us, felt special for everyone in attendance and also for all of them. Mm-hmm. Like we talked to a lot of the speakers afterwards and they were just like, whoa, mm-hmm. like proud to be among, mm-hmm. you know, all the people on the lineup. So thank you to all of our speakers. We had Jill Winterstein,
mm-hmm. Spirit Daughter.
Spirit Daughter. We had Kiki Robinson, Jenna Zoe, Ash Johns. We had Dr. Jen Esker. We had Aaron Rose. We had PETA Kelly. Mm-hmm. Just a solid freaking lineup.
Yes, Haro, as you said, yeah. Yeah, it was baller and it was cool too, like the flow of it. And, you know, we started at the top with Jill Winterstein, Spirit Daughter, talking about astrology for 2021. And it felt like so relieving to hear that the astrology is a little bit kinder than it is in 2020. And it gave me hope. She said, there's something in Pisces, which seemed great.
You're like, oh, she's talking about me?
Yeah, literally. I only
tell
listen
me about
and
me.
She said that she says my sign. I'm like, hold the phone, taking notes, tell me more. I think it was, you guys are all the astrologers. You're like, oh my God. It's like Jupiter and Pisces or something.
Oh yeah,
something
Jupiter's dope. The jolly planet.
Yeah, dude, which is funny because it's so crazy with astrology because I've heard Jupiter's like an asshole by some people and then he's like jolly and fun. I'm like, okay, I'll go with that one. But for her to like lead, you know, a group and telling us from 2020. And there's so many people that were in there that weren't astrology
mm-hmm.
aware. And so they were like, whoa. Like so many people were like, when will I ever understand? Like when will I ever be getting it? But those lessons were super powerful. And then Jenna Zoe came in and she talked about fears and just sort of three common fears that she sees come up a lot of times in human design in her work and how people, you know, can work through those.
Mm-hmm. I loved Sahara Rose's talk on Dharma mm-hmm. archetypes. She went through each one of the archetypes and it was so funny. Everyone was like, I'm the entertainer and the teacher. I'm mm-hmm. the nurturer. Like it was actually really cool to feel the excitement around owning that part of you. Mm. That is that, because I think sometimes we can kind of feel ashamed around some of our most like potent attributes.
Totally.
And Sahara's new book, Discover Your Dharma, is really about that and how it can help you find your purpose. So it was really, really powerful.
I was thinking though too, I was like, oh, damn, another label. Literally, I was like, oh, crap.
Now we're gonna be like all of them except maybe two.
I know, honestly. I just was like, oh, God, we have another label. Now we have our astrology. Now we have our human design. Now we have our like Dharma archetypes.
But also, as always, and I kind of want to just say this, even if you're new to the pod, it's like we share so much information. You know, podcast, camp, now the membership. And so it is always our goal to share information, but never make you feel like you have to believe it. Like mm-hmm. you really take what lands for you and explore what feels, you know, curious to you. But we always want you to like come back to yourself
mm-hmm.
and be in that place rather than kind of taking anything as it all.
Totally. So my dharma was researcher and visionary.
Mm.
And then at my core, I'm a nurturer, but...
Yes, you are. For
not
sure.
Not everyone sees it.
I felt like so
I'm
many.
Wounded. I'm the wounded nurturer.
I'm the wounded warrior.
Yeah, literally. I'm the nurturer, but no one lets me nurture.
We start every day by telling each other what archetype we are.
What archetype mood we're in. We're like, I'm the entertainer today.
Just so you know, I'm the asshole today. I'm the teacher warrior.
That was really good. And then with Kiki, we did, Kiki's our healer, Opulent Witch, who we've been working with for a little under a year now. And she's coming on the pod very soon. And we work with her regularly in a monthly container. And she did a psychic activation that I honestly didn't know if I was going to be able to. I didn't know if I was going to be able to return to the day.
I was like, what am I going to have to do here?
I literally was like, I think I need to check out. Because she's like walking to your altar with your galactic family, like doing all this stuff. And I was like, yo.
Yeah, I know. It's
also
powerful.
But in my head, I had to tell myself, follow the psychic activation as if you weren't going to tell anyone what's happening. Because I feel like sometimes, I don't know if it's because of what we do or whatever. I always feel like I have to document or remember or like,
yeah,
keep track of these psychedelic experiences or whatever experiences they are. And I'm like, psychic activate as if no one was watching. Dance as if no one was watching and also psychically activate as if no one was watching and just go through it instead of trying to fucking remember everything.
Yes. So many people were like, I'm crying. Yes. I'm just like so, so moved. And what I love about Kiki, she's just such a beautiful artist and mm-hmm. witch. And it's like, it's really, really powerful. And so to know that you can kind of create your own protections. I think some people look at someone like Kiki and they're like, wow, I wish I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so much of her work is like reminding you that you can. So yeah, the visualizations in that one were unreal. Unreal. And then Dr. Jen Esker,
mm-hmm.
she was just freaking doing her thing. She's the best. She was able to, it was 20 minutes and people were moving their bodies in such a way, in very simple ways that were like opening them up that made them feel and think differently. Mm-hmm. They're like, whoa, like I can actually like open my chest. I'm not tight in my shoulders and my neck, mm-hmm. which makes me feel, you know, fill in the blank. And it was just really, really cool. And I love how she's just, I mean, she's a wealth of knowledge, but she disseminates it in a way that is mm-hmm. simple and relatable and you can do literally right now in your own home. So it was stretching.
Yeah, the tip on breathing was to wrap a towel or something around your waist so that you feel your entire
back lower rib body expand.
So I think now people are becoming privy to like breathing out, balloon belly,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like in your back and in your like back ribs.
360.
And, yeah, 360, letting your entire lung and middle body expand. Yeah, that was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was such a nice part of the day. And then we had Ash Johns, dude, you guys have to. Ash Inspires is her Instagram. She'll be on the pod soon. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming out soon, but we connected with her when we were in Miami. She does ancestral healing. That episode's fire. It's so good. Yeah. And we just talked to her about ancestral healing. She told us about, you know, the spirit. So like the spiritual part of ancestral healing and then actual scientific data that backs the fact that ancestral healing is like a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I love. I think, you know, everyone kind of takes in information differently and some people more relate to the science, more relate to the spiritual. Yeah. So she's really, really both. And she was talking in her Instagram story after the event and just speaking to like the presence of the ancestors during the event.
Cool.
And just, you know, even though it was only 30 minutes, just like tapping in for this particular group. And it was just unbelievable. She's so powerful.
Whenever ancestors, I'm like, whatever. Because it's like I am like, get in that. I'm like, oh, grandma's here. I'm like, she's always here.
But actually, her point too, because a lot of people think of that. They think of grandma or great grandma. Yes. And she's like, that's powerful. And that's like, that is comforting to a lot of people. Because you
mine's
are
not really comforting.
Familiar.
I'm just like, no, whatever.
It's like familiar to people.
Yes.
But she's like, really? It's like,
So far back. Yes.
And that's kind of where like...
And you can have a galactic ancestral family. So we'll have more information about that in the pod. And then Erin Rose just came through with the heat. Came through with the hitter. Just talking about his work in the activism space for over 10 years. You know, he was someone that would chain himself to buildings, like put ice sculptures in like the middle
government
of
buildings.
Government buildings. Like he was an activist, like deep in it for over 10 years and now has transitioned out to being someone that works with leaders like us. Big time leaders like us. But moreover, is interested in being more about the solution than a cycle of being in the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about how optimism is something that is like radically needed right now. And I felt like everyone was just so moved and given the permission to be in that future world state and place right now.
Yeah, he led us through a future world meditation. One I believe he has on his website, so you can check that out. This was like an abridged version, but like unreal. And people were, you know, in real time after the meditation, just sharing what they saw and what they experienced. And he also gave us a prompt of, what are you no longer available for? Mm. And that was like a really powerful chat explosion, you know, just to see people so ready to say, I am no longer available for fill in the blank, whether it is, you know, not speaking my truth or what have you. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was cool to see.
Maybe what are really you no happy. Longer available for?
So many things. You're catching me at a time where I'm
catching
just go
you hot
on.
And heavy. I'm no longer available for projections and for fucking chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos energy is all up in my grill.
I echo that, and you know that. I think it's what I'm experiencing in little sharp, intense blips is this projection from people around me wanting to hold peace and hold like just a higher vision for whether it's the future or myself and the projection of people feeling like that is not helping.
Yeah. Or that you don't care.
That I don't care. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. And a moment of silence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it is real, and I have moments where I grapple, where I'm like, but in my heart, like this does feel powerful to hold that, and to like do work around that.
Of course.
And so, yeah.
What's the ultimate goal? What's the goal here, everyone?
So no longer available for kind of abandoning myself in those moments.
Yeah, and then PETA showed out. PETA closed us out, and PETA was really talking about freedom. Like, we are so scared and terrified to be free. Like, who would we be if we were completely free? What would we do? What would we eat? What would we say? What would we experience? And that is such a great question. It's like, if I was completely free of any obligation, of any relationship, of any identity, of any ego attachment, who would I be? It's scary.
Well, it's just so big that it's like...
Yeah, honestly.
I think I think a lot of us out there unknowingly attach ourselves to...
I would be an Instagram influencer still.
to rules, to like kind of these institutions within society, mm-hmm. what have you, that like give them that greater sense of identity, but it's really not our identity mm-hmm. from my perspective. But yeah, it was a really beautiful prompt. And I think, again, just saw the activation of people in attendance. Mm-hmm. Like it was just a curiosity, oh my God, yeah, like what am I afraid of? And some of those fears can be real. Mm-hmm. They're very real fears of being totally free. She also talked about, she's a mom and she said it briefly, but it stuck with me. And I've heard her say this before, just like, am how I'm living now, like this life that I've created, is that how I want my kids to experience life? So even if they're not experiencing it directly, but like how I live my life, if I think about my parents and some things that they did or sacrificed, like thinking about me now as an adult, like doing exactly what they did, they probably wouldn't want that for me. So it's just a really interesting like lens to look through for a moment to put into perspective what we are currently doing or how mm-hmm. we are living.
Totally. Yeah. So powerful. So thanks to all our speakers. And so then Lindsay and I did a session. We did a session on healing the female friendship wound. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we were doing the session, we were like, it actually would be beneficial for us to share sort of our session that we did live at camp, just because it felt so resonant for the people in attendance. And it felt like something that has been percolating in our consciousness for a while, Lindsay and I's. And it wasn't something that we felt we could speak to until really now. And it wasn't something that I really saw the power of until recently. You know, being someone that is in relationship with the active healing of that female friendship wound has changed so much of my life outside of my friendships. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful.
Yeah. To that point of just the right time to speak about it, I think like this whole last year has been so transformational for us as friends. And just, you know, anyone joining the podcast recently, like Krista and I started Almost 30 very shortly after we became friends. And so we've been building the business, we've been building the brand and the podcast, and at the same time, you know, getting to know each other. And I think it's easier to kind of focus on the podcast and all of that, which has brought us so much joy, but you kind of take for granted like your friends right next to you and how that relationship, specifically in our situation, affects everything. Mm-hmm. So it felt like the right time to kind of share, you know, what was really powerful in our healing, what was kind of misaligned, and, you know, how we got through it, and just the power of being mm-hmm. in a female friendship. Mm-hmm. Both of us have those wounds around that for different reasons. So,
the biggest biohack tip I feel like that's so underrated is light.
Tell me about
it. Dude, we did, you guys.
We're under lights all day.
All day long. I can tell when we do interviews and we are under really bad light, yeah. My energy is just completely drained. We did an amazing interview with Andy Mant of Blue Blocks, who's the sponsor of this show. And he talked about light hygiene, and it was so powerful.
So fascinating. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to that episode. But what I love about Blue Blocks, his company, is that everything is backed by science. Mm-hmm. And you see blue light blocker glasses everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, in Instagram
ads. I used to buy cheap
ones
online that were $20 and they do not work.
They don't work. So they've done extensive research and testing to make sure that the lenses in the glasses they are giving you are doing what they say they are doing. So I just love my summer glow glasses. They have them in different styles. By the way, they are like fashionable,
yeah,
cool looking.
They're dope.
But this is for daytime and they're yellow tinted glasses. So this is great for mood. This is great for anxiety, depression, migraines, seasonal affective disorder. And they just ease those symptoms. And I've just noticed such a difference when I wear them during the day. They also block that 100% of that blue light. that could be causing some of these symptoms. Yeah, I highly, highly recommend. I actually just got some for Sean because he's in front of a computer all day.
Yeah, I mean, if we think about it, it's our phone. We move from big screen TV to little screen phone to medium-sized screen all day. And, you know, that can be so much of what's affecting our mood when we're not getting out in the sun. We're not in natural light and we're really just getting that narrow band of blue light. So having these is such a great health hack that you can wear every day to help combat that blue light.
Yeah. So if you go to blueblocks.com/almost30, use the code almost30 and you'll get 15% off. That's blueblox.com/almost30 and use the code almost30 for 15% off.
Okay. Sharing with you guys what's in my medicine cabinet from Nutrition right now. Okay. First thing is the counter cravings. I got my wedding coming up, so I just want to be mindful of like what's going in my body. And it really helps me to balance my blood sugar levels and really increases my mood. So I am loving counter cravings. I also really enjoy Mighty Night at night. It helps cellular turnover as I sleep. And I've definitely noticed my skin feels plumper. I sleep so much better. Another favorite that we have is the B12. Because I'm plant-based, I don't get the best, you know, B vitamins all the time. So I really love their B12 Turbo.
Yeah, I'm loving Here Comes the Sun. None of us really get enough vitamin D and it's really important right now. I also love the Uber Energy. You know, sometimes when I feel like I'm just kind of running on empty, this is a really great natural support. And tried and true red carpet. Just great for skin and really shiny hair. My hair, I felt like last year was a little like
I don't even know.
It was gross.
But we were missing our hum. We were missing our hum products. So I was feeling a little lackluster, I'll be honest.
It has ALA, GLA, vitamin E, antioxidants, black currant, seed oil. It's packed.
Super nourishing.
And it's really great. So their products are just ones that are thoroughly, thoroughly tested, clinically proven, and clean. So you'll get beauty benefits, health benefits. Cannot wait for you to try. So many of you out there in our community have tried Hum Nutrition and love it so much over the years. So for anyone that hasn't tried Hum, let's do this. You can go to humnutrition.com. Use the code almost30 to get 20% off your first order of $29 or more. That's humnutrition.com. You'll take a little quiz. They'll give you some recommendations. You can ask questions of a certified dietitian and then use our code almost30 to get those products for 20% off.
Yeah, it's something I think a lot of women, and I think we talked about this in the chat, but a lot of people, a lot of women can relate to having. I don't know, scratching my head as a metaphor and also as a real itch on my head. I don't know any women that could say that they've gotten through life unscathed by women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and been able to feel completely safe with women, completely seen, completely heard, completely supported by women. I think that there has been a giant marketing campaign engine that has realized the power of women supporting women, but I don't know how much people have really done the work to heal that wound. And I think it was a wound that I had had for a long time, you know, from when I was little to, you know, all through high school. And then even in college, I had just these deep, intense issues with women. And so much of that was from my mom. And so much of that was from the relationships that I was in. It was, you know, my fault. It was their fault. Whoever's fault it was. I didn't know how badly I didn't trust women. And I didn't know how badly I didn't see the beauty of women and like see how deep and meaningful women relationships could be. Because it's almost like when we're younger and we're in like seventh, eighth grade to high school, we're programmed in this way where it's like, you got to be the cool girl. And the cool girl means you're like not speaking your truth. You're playing video games or you're like basically doing tons of boy things. You know, like the cool girl is someone who bakes cookies for the guys while they're playing video games or whatever. There's this like cool girl mentality.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, speaking from major experience. No, I was like, you were the cool girl and like supporting the guys. I was like trying to be a guy. So at some point I was. But there's that cool girl mentality that you have where you almost are so dismissive of women and their power. Mm. And I think this is such a silly example, but I always equate it to people's you guys know I'm a cat lady. I was equated to people's love of dogs and cats. I think people see dogs as like the masculine, something that's consistent. It's linear. It always loves you. It's always supportive of you. And people are like, cats suck. Cats suck. But like cats are so multidimensional. They almost for me represent the feminine where it's hard to understand. It's like kind of inconsistent, can be up and down, like a little all over the place. And I think that there's such a diminishing of females that when we are wounded, it's easy for us to turn away. It's easy for us to like shut down and not trust women and just sort of go through life not having fulfilling, nurturing, supportive female friendships.
Mm. When you were talking about like middle school, high school, I was just thinking about all the movies that I watched where like archetypes of what middle school, high school looks like kind of perpetuated that.
Yes.
So it's like, even just thinking about like a Clueless.
Yes. Best movie ever.
Best movie ever. But favorite. Like just thinking about those types of movies where like if I'm a middle schooler, I might have a belief that like, you know, the nerdy kid picking dandelions in the field shouldn't be friends with, you know, the head honcho girl or whatever. So it's just interesting how like what we're seeing, whether it's in movies or in social media or whatever, is kind of perpetuating that.
It's the competition. It's like,
yeah.
And I think too, it's, you know, through high school and college, you're always competitive with women for like, dude, so funny. If you think about it, like when you're competitive, like I was, you know, I'm competitive for like these losers in Ohio. Do you know these total doofuses?
Dude, this kid, Drew Meskin. I would have just put my whole life.
Literally, I was.
I'm like, oh.
Dude. One time we were in high school. I was with a friend. She was like my close friend at the time. We went to go see my boyfriend, Sebastian, and
good old Seb.
And Sebastian had a friend. I forget what his name was. Sebastian and his friend decided they wanted to trade girls for the night.
Dude, I love when guys make these decisions and think they it's
wanted
a rule
to trade. So they wanted Seb to have Jack, this other girl, and the other boy to have me. Like they literally were like, okay, this has been cool, but like we actually want to trade girls. And I peeled the fuck out in my Honda Civic, was like, fuck no. The
girl, good for you.
The girl went with it. But I was just thinking, I'm like, how stupid is this? That I was mad at her. I'm like, oh my God, she'd have betrayed me, whatever. Like, this is also stupid. So everyone's stupid. What are you doing here? I was like in the middle of a field. I was like, literally, we're like hanging out in a barn. I'm like, but yeah, the competition is real. And when I think with our friendship, you know, really put a mirror for me in the ways in which I didn't trust women. And I didn't, and I think that's gone hand in hand with my mother wound. But you know, I told the story at camp, but I think it's so funny when Lindsay and I were in Fiji, a little humble brag there. when we were in Fiji last year, I think we had like, you know, just made it like a goal for us as business owners to be like, all right, we're going to go to Fiji after we were in Australia on tour and just treat ourselves. So we were in Fiji and we were sitting in the pool one day. They had these like hot cold plunge pools at this Fiji place. And there's these three birds that were seen all over the Fijian island resort. So we kept seeing these three birds all the time. And then so one day we saw this one of these birds and it was like limping around. And me and Lindsay look at the bird, we're looking at him and I'm like, I think he's faking it. And I was like talking about how the bird was probably faking his injury and like fake limping for us to feel bad for him. And Lindsay's like, no, he's a bird. And I like didn't even trust a bird. I was like, I did not because and in that moment, it was mirroring for me a situation within our business where we were going through a trust issue with someone on our team. And so that was making me literally not trust anyone. I wasn't trusting a bird in the tree to be not lying about a leg issue. And so I was like, wow, that's so fucking true. I really cannot trust people. And so then in self-reflection and evaluation was able to look back in my life like, okay, what have the issues been? What has been the common theme of my female friendships? And it's really always been about trust. Do I trust you? I don't trust you. You've broken my trust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really been the huge theme for me of something that I really needed to work on healing.
Yeah. For me, it was so much about communication and expressing myself in the moment. We'll tell it in a moment, but just like the experience in middle school, high school of wanting to express myself, expressing myself and then not being received in the way that is safe and just supportive. And so I mean, in every one of my relationships, not just my female friendships, but I think it's just such a mirror because we are so close and do so much together that I was just realizing like, wow, what is this where I can't tell someone that I really care about how I'm feeling in the moment because I'm afraid that either they will feel ashamed, they will be mad, they won't be friends with me, they won't trust me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, it still shows up. I'm still kind of working with it, but it was really cool this last year to be able to practice that and continue to practice that in a space with you where I just felt like you knew that was something that I'm working on and then we could just like walk through it together in so many ways, mm-hmm. which was helpful.
Yeah. So and the helpful. Trust thing too. It was like, I remember when with the moving thing, because you know, Lindsay and I are talking about moving this year, which we'll keep you guys posted on where we go and that timing and everything. But
yep.
one of our friends was like, oh yeah, you know, Lindsay's moving, you know, back to New York to be with her man. And I was like, yeah, totally. And I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And we had been both kind of, this was like earlier, this was in December. So we'd both been traveling. So we kind of hadn't seen each other. And I didn't know. And I was like, damn, I can't believe that she did that. Like, why mm-hmm. would she not tell me? Blah, blah, blah. And so I just brought it up to you. And it's like, my issue is not trusting you and then yours is not the communication, you know? Yep, so it's exactly. like both of our, but it's, so the awareness of our issues is like, oh, this is the issue in plain sight. This is another situation for us to be like, oh, this won't bother me, upset me, trigger me, whatever. It's like, oh, this mm-hmm. is just interesting that this issue is, this little thing is coming up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, been something that we've really worked on.
And now it's kind of, thankfully, when it comes up, it's fun to work on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds weird, but it's just like, cool. Like we have so much awareness around it where it's like, yeah, okay, let me like do that over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very much like engaged in the betterment of these relationships, these dynamics and what we're working on. It's not so much this like, shame cycle.
Yes.
And then we fix it. There's very little shame, which feels so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a moment and define what the female friendship wound is. Just to put it in context, the female friendship wound is the pain, the subconscious beliefs, and the coping mechanisms that manifest in early female friendships that you carry with you now and into your current female relationships. And, you know, from our experience, it could be a super powerful wound that, you know, deserves your time, love, and attention and can be this like really cool portal to understand you, understand people that you're in relationship with, and just bring about a lot of peace.
Mm-hmm. And I think it correlates with the mother wound. You know, so many of us are kind of working on that and talking about that. And I did a full episode on it. And Bethany Webster, who wrote the book called Healing the Mother Wound, is coming on the podcast. So we'll dig into that deeper. So for me, the female friendship wound was a lot like the mother wound. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of like similarities. So when we're working on these, we can kind of see correlations in both. But it's almost like the pain experiences or the trauma sometimes is different. You know, so sometimes they correlate. Some of my trauma correlates to my mom and then some correlates to actual situations with other mm-hmm. women. So, you know, these definitely go hand in hand for
and
sure.
I think it can be kind of sneaky. Like mm-hmm. I even had like a situation, wasn't mother, it was more like father wound. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't realize that it was popping up in my relationship with Sean. Yeah. And I was like, but he's nothing like my dad. But I was like, whoa. Like mm-hmm. there's just like these little sneaky ways in which the mother or father wound can show up and look very different than what you experienced mm-hmm. when you were younger. But kind of the core pains, the core things, stories are still running.
Yeah, completely. So some questions for you guys to think about, you know, when you're processing or working with your female friendship wound. The first one is thinking about what a common theme in your female relationships is. And you can think about the relationships that are successful. You can think about the ones that are unsuccessful. For me, thinking about the female friendship breakups that I had had over the years, even from 7th and 8th grade, you know, to a couple years ago, were always centered around trust. them not trusting me, me not trusting them, me feeling like it was unsafe with them because of trust. So when I realized that pattern, I was able to really think about what ways in which is this being presented to me so that I could heal it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're like, it's really helpful not to overanalyze and really just sit with maybe even like hands over heart, eyes closed, and like bringing a certain relationship to your consciousness and just recognizing the feeling that it brings up. And usually that will be easier to decipher. Another question you can ask yourself is, in these relationships in particular, what would you like to bring more of? So really kind of redirecting the intention to like, okay, you know, like wound is such a heavy word and sometimes can feel like, oh my God, like, is this relationship done? Like, can I do this? But really, like, you can absolutely bring more of what you want into a relationship through this work. So what do you want to bring more of? And are you, as women, I feel like we're giving and giving and giving and giving. So really checking that giving and receiving pendulum. So does that pendulum feel balanced? Are you giving too much? Are you giving too little? Are you, you know, not able to receive love, support, attention, what have you? So just checking on the balance of that giving and receiving pendulum in each one of your female friendships.
Yeah. And another one is, can you speak your truth in female friendships? So can you be your honest, whole, authentic self? Or do you feel like you're censoring yourself? Do you feel like you're not speaking your mind? Do you feel like you can't be honest with them? There's a lot of that, I think, that happens too. And there's almost, for me, like a barrier that has to be broken mm-hmm. with my female friendships, where it's like we reach a point where we start to be really honest. You know, there's yeah. like a tipping point that happens where it's like, oh, this is how close we are,
mm-hmm.
where we're like saying this.
And this is how it's supposed to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is how it's supposed to feel. So something for you guys to think about when you're healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Lindsay and I were thinking about this and just the progress we've made, of course, we're not fully there. I mean, this comes up all the time for me. There are a lot of examples that we can look to of ways in which we've been shown examples of a healthy female friendship, especially in the past couple years since we've done a lot of this work. And we talked a lot about this with Milana and Leticia in our Female Friendships Roundtable episode that we did. But there are such profound examples we've had in our lives. And, you know, these are not to shame anyone into being like, we have better friends than you, but really just to expand our minds around what healthy potential relationships looks like.
Yeah. So just some examples of that. I feel like in our really deep female relationships that we have now, that we are able to disagree and still feel safe, you know, which is, damn, sometimes I think about like times on the playground, like in elementary school, middle school, or those moments where I felt like if I disagreed with a quote unquote friend, that I would be like, out.
Mm-hmm.
I would just totally. Be out. And I think some of those feelings are still like very alive in a lot of us. Those, you know, times we were 12, 14, you know, it could be so real and still playing in the background. So, you know, being able to disagree with friends, you know, share different perspectives and experiences and still feel safe.
Yeah. Another one is wanting the other person to win with like not having anything to do with it. So mm-hmm. it's not like wanting them to win because your name is attached to a project or something, but it's like just fully, truly wanting them to be as successful as possible. And, you know, for us and our friends, it's like we had our camp almost 30 and it was really beautiful to see our friends really show up and just support us out of the goodness of their heart. A lot attended, our friends attended. They were messaging us how powerful it was. And, you know, we don't expect our friends to go to our stuff. A lot of people do a lot of different things. So for them to show up and just like have gratitude for what we were doing. And then even like getting messages before the event, like, hey, do you need support? Do you need like dinner? Do you need to go on a walk? Do you need to talk? Was really kind and really meant a lot to us because we feel like sometimes we're doing this alone. And I think a lot of women feel like that. We're always like, oh, I got it. You know, don't worry about it. We've got it. But to have someone go above and beyond to let you know that they are there to support you when you're trying to do your best at whatever your purpose is really incredible.
Mm-hmm. this one's a good one. There's no talking bad about anyone, whether yes. they're there or not. And admittedly, sometimes this is hard. It's an easy thing to kind of slip into. I think, you know, gossiping or shit talking can really make you feel better if that person in particular has like hurt you. But I do notice how I feel after those conversations. You know, if I'm with someone who is just notoriously always gossiping about people and really wants to vent, I appreciate that they can trust me, you know, to vent to. However, I just notice like energetically that exchange does not feel very fulfilling to mm-hmm. me, you know, and that's not like me being high and mighty because I've definitely gossiped before for sure. But like the truth is it never feels amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that quick hit and then it's like, so what am I going to do about it? Yes. Like, what's my responsibility here?
And too, there's such a, but it's so interesting with this because there's such a, it's never acceptable, but there is such a something where if the intention, you know, if it's coming from an unhealed place and there's no excuse to be like, oh, that person is whatever, whatever. So there, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is like, I literally for like years killed myself and would like choke on my words because I didn't want to say anything bad about anyone. And it was almost like detrimental to me because I couldn't express myself how I felt about things. I couldn't be like, that doesn't feel aligned to me. I wouldn't even be like, that feels inauthentic or that feels like it's coming from a place of wounding, whatever. I literally wouldn't even let myself say that. And I almost like freaking choked to death because I was just never even letting myself express because I felt like I was ashamed of anything that was negative to say about anyone else. And it was a really good practice for me to swing all the way there and kind of not allow myself. But now coming back to like the point of like checking in, am I in integrity in saying this? Does it feel like it's in judgment or does it feel like it's an observation of something that's not in resonance for me?
Yes.
You know, I think, but I could totally agree. Like there's no friendships that I have where I ever feel like I leave the room and they're saying anything bad about me.
And usually there's a balance. So for example, if I come to you and I'm like, yo, this person did this. And there's like kind of this brief moment of vent. Mm-hmm. And then most of the time is spent on like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like on analyzing like,
yes,
what did I bring to this situation? Mm-hmm. Maybe what they're bringing, what potentially like wounding they're bringing. And it's never just focused on the like, this person's a piece of shit because inevitably, it just is saying something about yourself at the end of the day. But I do think the balance is more to like, okay, let's like look at the whole picture here. Mm-hmm. Because that feels better, mm-hmm. you know, to have just like a wider scope of the situation and not to be so tunnel visioned into like, this person is out to get me or whatever the case may be. So
mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, but it's, yeah, that whole thing, conversation where people are gossiping is really just distracting from ourselves. It's really just maintaining status quo of this always happens. People always do this and it will always get you back. You know, that kind of karma, unfortunately, will always sort of get you back.
Yeah.
You know, so talking bad about people is something you never really want to do because you want to be honest with people. You want to be forthcoming and you want to love yourself enough that you feel like you don't even see bad things in people. You know, that's kind of the thing when you start to love yourself, you don't see as many bad things about other people. Because you're not seeing them in yourselves.
Amen. Okay, we wanted to just share like what you could do to begin to heal your female friendship wound. You know, so many things, but so take whatever lands, take whatever feels good to you. But I've been thinking a lot lately about how each one of my friendships is a soul contract. I mean, especially like Krista and I just feel like our contract is super full and like a dense contract. There's so many levels of it and we're experiencing so much together that I never thought I would experience with a friend, you know, add on business and relationship and just so many things. And just thinking about those contracts as ones to heal. Heal yourself, help heal another. And I know it sounds like kind of woo-woo and, you know, spiritual jargon, but it's kind of beautiful. If you think about it. And if I think back on my past friendships that are no longer in my life, I'm like, wow, that was like really purposeful. Mm-hmm. And like when they came into my life, how they came into my life, what they taught me, what was coming up, doesn't always mean there was a resolution, but just to look back, it is kind of cool to see when like God brings in these people into your life.
Huge fan of mushrooms, huge fan of Four Sigmatic. You guys know we've been working with them forever. We've had Taro, their founder, on the podcast twice now, and they've been such a foundational part of our brand. And Lindsay and I are users and lovers of all Four Sigmatic products. One of my favorite things is the mushroom chocolate. It's a limited edition dark chocolate. It has 10 mushrooms in it, and it is low sugar and incredible.
Oh my God, it's so delicious. I also love, I'll have that at night and then I'll also have the mushroom cacao with reishi.
Yes.
So this for me tastes like a hot chocolate of sorts. So I'll mix it with like an almond milk or an oat milk right before bedtime. It's kind of a nice little ritual and just helps me to relax. Reishi is an incredible mushroom for that. All of their products are organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, plant-based, and rigorously lab tested. We know Taro personally. Mm-hmm. And I just remember when first meeting him, like his obsession with like testing the types of ingredients that go into his products. He does not allow anything that is not going to be good for your body. So you can truly trust this brand. But maybe you're looking for a coffee alternative. I would recommend Lion's Mane. It's so delicious and just great for energy and focus. But there is something for you at Four Sigmatic. We've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but it is just for you, almost 30 listeners. Get up to 40% off plus free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/almost30, and this offer is only for almost 30 listeners and is not available on their regular website. So it's foursigmatic.com/almost30. You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic.com/almost30 and fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee.
If you guys watched Kiki Robinson's episode with Lindsay and I on YouTube, you saw that I was sipping my Kinspritz, which has been one of my favorite things to do. It's just a nice sparkling drink that feels fresh, feels like uplifting. I don't know. It's like this beautiful mood booster. That's incredible.
It kind of tastes like an Aperol spritz.
Yes.
Which I love. I love Kin Euphorics because I don't know, just as I've not only gotten older, but just kind of gotten to know my body. Like every once in a while, I'll have a glass of wine, but like alcohol just does not agree with me and I never feel amazing the next day. And what I love about Kin Euphorics is that this, it's the first non-alcoholic drink for grown-ups that are thinking that, where they want the benefits, where there's benefits for brain function and hormones and sex and de-stressing, like all the things that maybe you turn to alcohol for. Kin Euphorics has got you and they taste delicious. You love the Kinspritz. I really love the Dreamlight. I know you do as well. It's really good. So this is like a nightcap at the end of your day. It just melts away stress and I sleep like a baby and I wake up feeling super good.
We did it. Me and Justin, we were like bored on weekend nights. So we're like, what are we going to do? And we wanted something to do that felt just kind of groovy and like fun. And we've been having a drink of these. We've been having the Dreamlight with an oat milk in the evening. And we've been having like psychedelic cool fun dreams and just been able to feel super light and fun. So it's been like a beautiful addition to our routine, especially in the pandemic, to just lighten the mood.
Yeah, they have just an incredible lineup of ingredients, like different herbs and nootropics. So check out Kin Euphorics. It's also just beautiful branding. I love it so much.
Yes.
You can go to kineuphorics.com/almost30. And for our listeners, you will receive 15% off plus free shipping on your order. So go to kineuphorics.com/almost30 to get 15% off plus free shipping on your first order.
Yeah, there is so many. Like I can think of one friend that I was close with and that was like, she was a very expanding friend for me in realizing what my life could be like. She had a really beautiful life and she had a really beautiful, she had just this beautiful life and relationship. And I was like, wow, that was very expansive for me because I didn't really come from a family that felt like that or a home that looked, you know, nothing really looked like what hers looked like. And I was like, wow, that was really expanding for me. And that was really helpful for me in that way. So also thinking too, like what those friends have brought to your life or what sort of expansion they've given to you, whether that was like confidence in yourself, ability to see what another life would be like. But soul contracts, you guys know, is like so powerful. You guys, your little souls chose one another to heal. Something else to heal your female friendship wound is to focus on not abandoning yourself. So the focus on self and making sure that you always are trying to stay in integrity with yourself and how you feel. Because a lot of times women, and definitely myself, tend to abandon ourselves. I had a situation like this happen a few weeks ago where someone had done something to me that was out of integrity, what I consider to be integrity. And in the conversation where I approached this person, I found myself completely abandoning myself to make them feel better about what they had done to me out of integrity. And I was so disappointed. I mean, I was so upset to know that like I would just completely disregard what I deserved and the respect that I believe I should have and that my feelings are valid enough to be heard and to be supported through the conversation instead of like making the other person feel better. So I think when we abandon ourselves, it really just only hurts ourselves. It can only make that person feel better temporarily, but it's really fake. So trying to do your best to not abandon yourself, to nurture one another, it doesn't help you, it doesn't help them.
That's a big one for me. Mm-hmm. Big one for me. Establishing boundaries, we hear it a lot. But I really do think, especially, you know, in my 30s and the friendships that I have, when a friend sets a clear boundary, I am just very much in like respect mode. I really respect it. If a friend gives a boundary or sets a boundary, it gives me permission. I'm like, wow, they did that. And that felt good. And that felt safe. And that felt like what they needed, which is, you know, ultimately in friendship, what I like to do is, what do you need? Like, how can I support you? And usually, in your previous example, it can look like abandoning myself to make sure they have what they need. But with boundaries, it's like, it's really good for both people. Really, really good for both people and like just creating that authentic relationship. And what I've just noticed recently is that my emotions can really blur the lines. So just being aware and observing my own emotions and even those of that other person and giving space if needed. You know, that is a boundary too. Space and time is a boundary. I asked for space and time in a recent conversation because I felt so emotional and I needed to cry. I needed to be pissed. I kind of needed to go through this whole cycle before coming back so that I could show up in integrity and in a way that I was proud of, and then give them the best opportunity to show up as well, because I'm not like rolling in my emotions. So that's definitely been a big one of mine lately.
Yeah, I think it's also with boundaries, it's like being able to be in your own emotional experience and you're not like bringing anyone else into the emotional experience. I've been really obsessed with like people that are able to regulate their own emotions and being able to regulate their own emotions. I do a much better job than I ever have done, but I still feel like there's opportunity to better regulate my own emotions.
What does that look like?
It's really like having the experience of something happening and you're sort of going through your own process on your own instead of reaching for your phone and calling your coach, messaging your healer.
What do you mean?
Yeah, literally everything I do most of the time, you know, asking for advice or sharing with, you know, mine is really, I really leverage and count on my community to support me, which is a great thing. But also it's like going through my own process of like seeing how I feel first. And that's also too, like in relationship, if it's like someone is doing something to piss you off, you're able to go through your own emotional experience without like offloading it on them and then being able to bring something to them more calmly and thoughtfully because you've been through your own process.
Yeah.
And that's it's a masterful skill, but being able to do that has a lot to do with boundaries because you're like boundaried enough to go through your own experience first.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that it's harder to do that in an enmeshed relationship. So if you're, and I don't think either of us have this experience right now, like with our significant others, but like if I'm thinking about any of you out there that have kind of an enmeshment and like it's feels comfortable to bring your partner into the fold of what you're going through, because it feels like it could deepen your relationship or just be the comfort that you need. But yeah, I've definitely, both on my own and Sean on his own, like just have observed, I'm like, it is really powerful when we're able to emotionally regulate on our own. Obviously, like find comfort and counsel in one another. But there is that like piece of time that's just like, okay, let's check in with self. Mm-hmm. And it takes the other person to be like, that's what that person needs and is doing right now. Mm-hmm. Rather than, what can I do? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful.
Love that one. And then the second to last one is look at your relationship with your mother, sisters, and close female friends. So like mm-hmm. we said before with the questions, so just looking, using those questions to take some time and really think about your relationship with your mom, with sisters, with female friends, and noticing patterns. What kind of patterns are coming mm-hmm. up? And those are really the work, you know, that we can do.
And in that, one of those questions you can ask yourself related to that too is like, how old do I feel right now? I learned this in therapy, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well, but it's just like, how old is this feeling? Mm-hmm. A lot of the time for me, it was like 12 and 14, but it might be seven. It might, you know, just identifying how old that feeling is. And then you can kind of track back, is this with my mom? Is this with my sisters? Or maybe when my sister was born or, you know, what have you. So that could be really helpful. And last but not least, healing in community. I mean, as someone who would not lean on girlfriends for mm-hmm. help, support in times where I was like growing the most and in some of my most challenging times, I've learned thankfully later in my life now that I don't know how I did it without these types of relationships, friendships, community. The support, the accountability has been so important. The reflection back mm-hmm. and just like the witnessing of others also just like coming back to themselves is so inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. Really inspiring to me.
Yeah, when people are like on their journey to being right with themselves, like it is really powerful, the support they can provide people. And it was like at our retreat in Malibu and then on tour at our events and stuff, just seeing people, women be truly, and it's just again, not in like the fake social media way, the truest way of supporting one another. And I never thought I'd be someone that would heal among women either. You know, I was always someone that was like, oh my gosh, too much.
Yeah, totally.
Like I would just be like I was in a sorority at my school, which was hilarious, but I don't even know why I did it. But I did meet some amazing women, and it was helpful for my journey. But at the beginning, there was like our initiation night or whatever. And at the initiation night, they make you like do some tell secrets or something. And I left. I was like, I literally could not be there because it was just too much women
secret telling.
Secret telling. And I think now how much like I'm part of those like type of communications and circles and stuff. But when we are in the truest sense, like there for one another, it is like so beautiful. And, you know, Lindsay and I created the membership a lot because of that. You know, mm-hmm. we felt like we had spaces in person, like our retreat in Malibu, which we've had to, you know, figure out when the next time we're going to meet in person is. And then we were doing that on tour at our events on tour. But even in like our digital communities, like the Facebook group, which is incredible, it never felt like we could really get there to do like the accountability part, the healing part, like the actual work to change anything negative that we were feeling or the actual work to have a different experience. Yeah. And so our membership is really that sort of container with us where we have the monthly deep dive workshops on astrology, manifestation, all the things that people love, the Q&A with us to really go deep and talk about all the things in a space that feels safe for you and I and for our community. And then to have them feel like there was less anonymity and more accountability to one another, where they know each other well enough to be like, this is Julia, this is whoever, and I know her and she is this, rather than like online in digital spaces, it's always like, it's just a username. It's like, whatever, you don't really know them, but it's like a human behind it. And so our membership is a lot inspired by the ways in which we've healed the female friendship wound that we want to bring to a space for women to not only work on their female friendship wound, but work on so many different areas that they feel like they want to show up more in this year and beyond.
Yeah, it's just that next, it was the next step for us. You know, I think like the secret Facebook group has served the community really well. And, but what we were feeling was like, okay, they want more.
Yes.
You know, and you just can't in a Facebook group of almost 20,000 people. You just can't. And so we were just sitting on that for quite some time and, you know, working with our team and between one another and just really dreaming up this container, this space where people could feel safe, where people could feel like, I can just come as me, no matter where I am in my process, in my life, in my journey, and I can feel fully alive, given the permission to just dive in, you know, wherever you are. I think, you know, we can see all these wellness and spiritual things happening on Instagram, and it's beautiful. And I love Instagram for that. But sometimes it can feel like just this one big comparison loop. And you're like, am I far enough in this journey? What should I be doing? And so we're going to have, the membership is a 6-month container. So we'll do enrollment every 6 months. And this was done purposely because we really wanted to go deep with everyone in the membership. And each month we're going to have a monthly theme. So those monthly themes include reclaim, witness. And these themes, our intention is that they will just bring you to a deeper understanding of yourself. We'll also have a bonus episode. Really exciting. We have a bunch of episodes that you've never heard before that are just incredible. We can't wait to share a 2-hour workshop every month with a special guest. Month one is with Natalia Benson. We'll be like deep diving into your natal chart. And then month two is with Milana Snow. That is a energy healing. If you know Milana, you know it's going to be so powerful. We also have a monthly live hang with me and Krista. So we're just going to go deep. It's going to be like girl time, going to do a Q&A, connect around the monthly theme. And we will be offering journal prompts and affirmations and guided meditations every single month just to fortify your ritual. I think ritual is so incredibly important. And I think we brush it aside sometimes when life gets busy, but we are going to be kind of that place where you can feel like, okay, this is where I'm going every other day, every week, whatever works for you, where you can be held, period, and just have the accountability that will just expedite that growth and evolution.
Yep. And then you get early access to some of our new courses and programs that we're doing this year, which are exciting. And you get 50% off any workshop or anything in our shop, and then 20% off all of our merch. It's really exciting. So my Almost 30 membership is going to be super special. And it's for people that are interested in self-development as much as they're interested in joy. If you're okay reinventing yourself again and again, if you're able to find joy in seeing others succeed as much as you enjoy seeing your own, or you're working on it, if you believe in nuance, and if you're committed to changing your truth easily and swiftly whenever presented with new information, and if you like to laugh a lot. So we cannot wait. We're going to invite you to the Almost 30 membership if you're interested in those things. Enrollment closes on the 31st and will be closed for 6 months. And the reason why we do that is so everyone can really make the dedication to heal together. And we have more information on our website at almost30.com/membership. And I can't wait to see you guys in there.
Yeah, cannot wait. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's an honor to be here with you and to do this work with you.
Yeah. Share with a friend. You guys have any friends that you feel like you have had conversations with about this? You know, I think these conversations are so relevant and we need to be having them more often. So highly suggest you share this episode with a friend.
And again, the membership enrollment closes on January 31st. That's in just a few days from now. So I've been seeing people rounding up their friends and joining the membership so that they can, you know, have like that extra accountability in there. So grab some friends, join the membership. It's for 6 months. We cannot wait to see you. And lastly, we just want to briefly thank our sponsors for this episode. We can't do this without sponsors. And it's really important to us that each brand that we share with you, we stand behind and we use and we love. We know that you trust us. So the brands that sponsored this episode, Blue Blocks, Hum Nutrition, Four Sigmatic, and Kin Euphorix. So thank you all so much for listening. YouretheBomb.com. We love you so much. Share this episode if it resonated. And make sure to watch us on YouTube. We here on YouTube. And we will see you on the next one.
See you soon.
Love you.
Love you.